Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Tamar Jacoby is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Tamar is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. She is the editor of the outstanding book on immigration, Reinventing the Melting Pot, The New Immigrants and What It Means to Be American. Many of you who have read her byline in numbers of publications, print and electronic, across the country, around the world. She is one of the world's experts on immigration in the United States. And more importantly, though, she's our good friend. Tamar, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. And also, folks, many of you have seen her beautiful face and heard her very smart comments on television, because she does that quite a bit, too. Tamar, it just gets curious. You've heard the term, it gets curiouser and curiouser. This immigration thing is a wicket that gets stickier and stickier, doesn't it?
Well, it does, because it's such a it divides both parties and creates the strangest alliances.
Yeah.
But I think we're getting close to legislation this year. I
really?
Mean, knock on wood, and it's a little scary even to say it.
I've never heard you sound so hopeful, Tamar.
I'm hopeful because I think leaders of both parties are beginning to see that they really just can't let this go unsolved for much longer. That all different kinds of Americans, native-born and immigrants, legal and illegal, are just saying we want it solved now. And for various reasons, both parties are feeling that they have to be responsive to at least some of those people. So I'm kind of thinking that it could happen before the November midterm elections.
You wrote an article that was published in I'm not sure, the OC Register, I think. And you pointed out, you laid out three areas that you say are, and I agree with you, are the really the things that the politicians are grappling with right now. And that is, we have laws on the books that need to be enforced. We have the reality of our labor requirements that we often hear argued. And then we have the issue of, what do we do with the 12 million people who are already here? This, and I don't mean any disrespect here, folks, but just from a metaphorical standpoint, this 12 million person elephant in our living room.
But, you know, think about that. I mean, no one wants, that's the hardest of the issues. That's the most morally fraught and the most politically fraught. And people who say, who use the amnesty word, they're onto something. Not that any provision being proposed is amnesty, but they're right. No one wants to reward people for breaking the law.
Right.
Because nobody wants to encourage, never mind the past, nobody wants to encourage future breaking of the law. On the other hand, here are 12 million people living in the United States, most of whom are not going to go, quote-unquote, home, no matter what we do.
Right.
Many of them have lived here 20 years.
How do we round them up? I mean, it actually isn't possible, is it?
Well, I can't see Americans going to knocking on doors and law enforcement and rounding people up and forcing them to get on trains or planes, 12
right.
million people. I don't see it. So, and I don't see, even if we made enforcement a lot tougher, I don't see many of them going home voluntarily. You know, again, if you've been here 20 years and you've got family here and maybe you own a small business and certainly have a mortgage, home doesn't even mean Mexico anymore. So,
but if we're going to address the 12 million, don't we need to stop it first from becoming 15 million?
Well, I think we need to do it at the same time. That's basically the point. Instead of a nudge-nudge, wink-wink system, unrealistic laws, unrealistically low labor quotas that we don't really enforce, let's get a new legal, airtight system, realistic laws that we enforce to the letter. But you can't do that on top of a foundation of 12 million illegal people. For our sake, we've got to get those 12 million people onto the right side of the law. Give them a way to earn it. Give them a way to pay a fine, do some kind of punishment.
Is there any kind of structure that you see in the bills that the House or the Senate are working on? Is there any kind of structure that you feel confident would accomplish that?
I think that there are a couple of ideas. The McCain-Kennedy idea wasn't so bad, and this new compromise from Hagel and Martinez isn't bad. The metaphor is probation. It's giving these people a chance to earn their way back onto the right side of the law and wait their turn, by the way.
What are some examples of these new programs? How would they do that?
The McCain-Kennedy bill says pay a $2,000 fine, which for these people is actually a lot of money. These are unskilled workers.
Right.
First of all, come down to the government. You know, say I did something wrong. Get fingerprinted. Admit your crime. Have a background check.
Do they think that they've committed a crime?
They know they're here illegally. They know
they have the wrong side of the law. Yeah.
I think it's a different kind of crime than murdering someone or robbing a bank.
Right.
But they know that they're on the wrong side of the law. And we just did a study of them. The Manhattan Institute commissioned a Spanish-speaking pollster to do 45-minute interviews with 200 of them. They would do almost anything to get onto the right side of the law.
So you think if they were given an opportunity to come to a place and they were and I'm sure it would take some Hispanic leadership to convince everybody that this is for real, this is not just a sting,
that
if they came to a place and that we set the structure up to pay a fine, to, as you say, to plead guilty, so to speak,
exactly.
and then pay a fine, would they start a process?
Go on working and pay your back taxes and continue working. Stay in kind of a legal limbo for about 6 years while you waited your turn so that the people waiting in Mexico could get their visas first. And you'd be in legal limbo until that person in Mexico got the visa. Then you might be able to get one. So, you know, it's a kind of probation is the way I see it. Another possibility, so Senators Hagel and Martinez have an even slightly stiffer version. They divide the illegal immigrants up into three groups, really. If you've been here more than 5 years or fewer than 5 years, it's kind of complicated. Some of them could do it this way. Others would actually have to leave the country and come back before they got their visa.
Come back through a process.
Come back to the normal way.
But that seems back to your original comment and my original thought on this sort of a remediation issue. I mean, a repatriation issue, I should say. How do you actually get that many people to go back? Hold on to that thought tomorrow. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, I have a little story to tell you, and I want tomorrow to help me reconcile that story with this with the Hispanic immigration issues. 20 after, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Tamar Jacoby, ladies and gentlemen, who Tamar is one of the world's experts on immigration, especially immigration in the United States. She's the editor of Reinventing the Melting Pot. She is a senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute. And Tamar, tell us how we can contact you, how we can find out more about the things that you write, how we can find your book.
The Manhattan Institute website, www.manhattan-institute.org.
.org. Check it out. It's a good one, folks. As you know, a number of fellows in the Manhattan Institute are members of our Brain Trust, and we value that relationship very highly. They can find the book there, too, can't they?
They can.
Okay. Tamar, I said something as we went to the break intentionally that might have sounded a little bit incorrect, maybe even politically incorrect. I said something about the Hispanic immigration and illegal immigration in the United States. Obviously, the illegal immigration is not just about Hispanics, but clearly they're the vast majority, right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, I know a young man in Washington, D.C. His name is Abdul. I've known him for years. He works at a business that I support. And in my last trip there, he was telling me that his wife had made it over from North Africa, from a country in North Africa, and she'd been here since November. And I said, well, don't you have a child? He said, yes, I have a 2-year-old son. He said, but I had to go through 4 to 6 years, I've forgotten how long he said, to get my wife over here. The child wasn't even conceived when that process started, and the wife's papers came through in November. She came over, but they had to leave their 2-year-old child over there. The immigration system would not allow him to bring that child in with the mother. So the child is separated from his parents. He's got to go through the same process with the child as he did with his wife. Now, how do Americans reconcile that with all the other stuff we're talking about?
Yeah, well, that's obviously an abomination. I mean, that story speaks for itself. We don't have to talk about that being a good idea or a bad idea. Nobody wants to separate
right.
a mother from a 2-year-old son. So, but there are a lot of complexities here, right? One is whether we're talking about Hispanic or non-Hispanic, and there's not a difference in treatment. There are not different rules for Hispanics and non-Hispanics.
Right.
The same rules apply. If you can be waiting, that same story could have happened to Abdul if he was from Mexico.
Right.
Or if he was from the Philippines.
But he just chose not to break the law.
Well, no, but there are a lot of people in Mexico and the Philippines and all like that waiting patiently for visas that are not coming through, and their families that are separated because of that. So that's not a difference of ethnicity or where you're born. That's the difference of legal and illegal. And of course, you're right that we don't want to have a system in the future that is going to prejudice people who in favor of people who've broken the law.
Right.
We want to reward the people who are abiding by the law.
Well, yeah, but what does it say? If I were him, I would be. Now, this guy has become an American citizen. He's naturalized. So what is he saying? What is he thinking?
Yeah.
You know, when these laws are coming down about all this amnesty and all that, what is he saying? Wait a minute. You know, where's my amnesty? I don't have my 2-year-old child.
But we have to fix it on both ends, right? We have to fix it, and the bills would fix it so that people waiting for families, so that we would clean up those backlogs. I mean, that's a backlog.
Right.
His 2-year-old son has an absolute right to come here. The problem is a backlog of processing. So part of what the bill has to do is clean up those backlogs so that the son gets here right away. And the people who are here, again, we're not going to make them physically go home because we can't. But nobody waiting here should get a visa before Abdul's son does.
Exactly.
They should be in some kind of legal limbo waiting until Abdul's son and everybody else like that who already has a right to have a visa at home gets one.
Is it physically, administratively, logistically possible to process all these people in 6 years?
I don't see why it isn't, honestly. I mean, since 9/11, if you look at what the DHS has done since 9/11, they created the U.S. visit system where they fingerprint millions of people entering the country each year. They
yep.
changed all their computer systems around so that the FBI and the CIA and the law enforcement databases
right.
can talk to each other. If they want to do something, they can do it. I mean, not every part of the government has to work like the DMZ.
Right. So maybe they can walk and chew gum at the same time?
We just have to have the political will to do it and give them the resources.
Okay, now, but we still got the borders, the porous borders. Can we actually plug those holes?
Well, again, the point is that if we had a legal system that allowed the businesses to get the workers they need and allowed the workers who were coming to do jobs that we need done to grow our economy to come legally, there'd be much less pressure on the border.
Right.
It's like prohibition. It was impossible to make prohibition stick, but
mm-hmm.
liquor licenses are very possible to implement. It's about
mm-hmm.
realistic law is more possible to implement. So yes, with a worker program that delivered workers a legal way, you could use technology and manpower to get a grip on the border, I believe.
Tomorrow, I got 30 seconds. Do you believe in 2006 we'll have an immigration bill that will work that you would be reasonably happy with?
It's a little bit out on a limb, but this morning I'm hopeful. I'm going to say yes.
Okay. I've never heard you act so hopeful, as I said earlier. So I'm actually starting to feel a little bit better about things. You're our weather vane on this issue, Tamar, so we look to you for guidance.
Well, let's hope. As I say, it's a little bit of a gamble, but I think it's possible.
Well, thank you for being here, Tamar, and for all that you do. Folks, I hope you'll check out what she has to say. If you want to know about immigration, Tamar's the place to go. Thank you, Tamar. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Tamar Jacoby, ladies and gentlemen. She's with the Manhattan Institute. Quick break. Right back with Russell Brown right after these messages. The show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administaff.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.